Greetings, is the automatically deleted husband? Automatically deleted again. I did send the postcard to George today, and I asking him to hike with me out to the top of Big Frog Mountain on December 8th, 2023, so just over a year from now. I've also asked my friend Chris to do the same because the likelihood of George ever seeing that card is probably pretty small. It'll probably be on that wall here in a couple weeks, wouldn't it? Won't it? But I did it, and because of the fact it's over a year, maybe there's still hope. Maybe there's hope. It is my hope. I'm at, 530,000, I think, jumping jacks on my way to a million. So I'm past the halfway point, and, right now, there seem to be no issues on that. So, Lord willing, on December 8th, I'll make the million, but even more, I'll do it at the top of Big Frog. It's just icing on the cake, literally. Anyway, I did watch something from long ago today. Well, not too long ago. April 27th of this year. It is my introduction number 7 video. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. The Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. I did a video on both of those. The difference is for curiosity. It was mostly for curiosity's sake. I put it on BitChute and to see what kind of reaction it would get. Because my assumption is no one in my family has seen it. No, you know, that'd be obvious. So it's been there since July 31st, and it has basically 200 views, 198. And my guess is, like I say, about 50 of those are real. And so even if only 10% of it, you know, so only 20 people watched it through. It's more than my own family. And I do find it interesting because I did propose the subject to other people again, and it's just silence. Don't want to touch it. I find that most unfortunate. And one of the other things that I've been trying to work through also, besides so many other things that are, I mentioned a while back, I don't remember when, but I think several months ago, the idea of generational hatred. This is something that's been discussed in reference to Ukraine. Because there's tension that's been there for a long time. Because one of the things, the simple thing that you basically see is that, well, you know, it really amazes me, the distortion in the news media. As I've pointed out before, if you're going to criticize somebody, criticize them based on fact. You know, there's a whole bunch. It's like the criticizing Trump for Russiagate, which was complete fraud. If you want to criticize him as being a mass murderer when he while Xi Jinping was enjoying chocolate cake with him, as he described, he was bombing Syria. And he did not have justification to do that. Because the allegation was a chemical attack, and the issue is, so a crime occurs, because that would be a crime. It didn't happen. It's a fallacy. That's obvious. But even if it did happen, what right do we have to go bomb another country that we're not involved in? We're not the policemen of the world. If somebody does something heinous, that doesn't mean the U.S. has to come to the rescue. That's a problem. But then again, the it's so easy to criticize President Biden. And the opportunities are there. But, you know, especially because I don't follow him much, so I can't think of much. The one example I used before, the thing that's used often about him going up the stairs and tripping twice. The thing is, one, it's not something of that, you know, a character issue. But the important aspect that actually does show character is it didn't stop him. He tripped. He regained his self And he continued on. And, you know, so, yeah, you can make fun of somebody tripping. The same thing with, he was riding a bike or whatnot and fell. That has nothing to do with policy or things of that nature. So you're attacking somebody in the wrong reason. Sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, which is a fallacy, but I mean, that's the problem. I would criticize them for that. And of course, that really doesn't go to Ukraine. That's simply money going to the military-industrial complex, because the bulk of it stays right here in the U.S. And we're feeding the military or the people who, you know, the people who run that organization. So, I mean, but again, criticize on something that's real. So, you know, the thing I'm seeing right now on Russia is, because I saw it again today, that they're threatening nuclear war. I listened to Putin's speech, and I see how they take a little snippet out of it and give it the opposite meaning that was said. The one that's threatening in nuclear wars is, you know, the NATO and the U.S., not the Russians. It's twisting our words. If you want to criticize them, there's a whole lot of things to criticize them on, in the sense of the policies and whatnot that happen internally in their country and things of that nature. Yeah, I mean, that'd be fine. But don't criticize them on things that you cannot substantiate. I do think when it comes to it's the obvious thing on the war in Ukraine. If somebody looks at it as 8 months old or 8 years old, you're going to come to a different position. Because if you say it's 8 months old, then Russia's bad. They invaded. They had no right to. If you look at it as 8 years old, Russia came to protect Russian people. Because they have been slaughtered for 8 years. And, you know, 14,000 dead. It's a reasonable slaughter. But, you know, the other thing is, we've got to remember history of that area, because Ukraine is not the Ukraine of 100 years ago. Borders have changed. It changed during the Soviet Union. And part of the methodology, I think it was Khrushchev, because I just heard it mentioned, because I heard somebody did it, and now apparently it was Khrushchev, who changed the borders to make sure that the Ukrainian borders had a Russian population, and the border between Ukraine and Poland was shifted also. So it has a Polish population. So it became less distinctively Ukrainian. That was the crime. You know, because there's something very important about culturally being with people like you. There's a tremendous advantage to that. You know, obviously language, because, you know, there's a difference between the Ukrainian language and the Russian language. And, or Polish. So you have three different languages, and you shifted the borders and made them all Ukraine. And there's a natural tension on the cities, you know, the portion on the west that was formerly Poland and the portion on the east that was formerly Russia, because culturally they're not the same. And that's been that way for now, obviously, many decades. And what happens is you have that tension that's been there now, again, for generations, because the you know, it's our culture, it's you know, there's a different culture in Texas than New Jersey, for example. It's not quite as profound because we still have that English language thing, and that's been this way in the U.S. for a long time, whereas it's not been that way for that long of a time in Ukraine. The example I've used before is, if the U.S. were to outlaw Spanish, the tension here in the U.S. would be huge. And so think of what it would be like if that would happen in the U.S. That did happen in Ukraine. They outlawed Russian. And what you have then is you ceded a cultural divide within the country. And you've done that now for 8 years. You've been killing your own people because, again, the Ukrainian government has been shelling Donbass for 8 years. And so you're killing your own people. There's some tension there. The cultural difference, you know, hey, look, my neighbors are dead. That's not very encouraging. And what happens, because I've seen it, and the issue is you see it on both sides. I am Ukrainian or I am Russian culturally, and therefore I hate the other ones because of what they've done to my people. You know, the Russian would have probably the longer standing hatred simply because they're the ones that have been the victim for 8 years. Now that the Ukrainians, the rest of Ukraine is feeling that tension, seeing all those deaths occur. It's not as long, but it's definitely there. Plus, apparently there is some tension, not quite as strong, because from what I understand, the part that's west of Ukraine has a lot more of the affinity to Bandera, the guy who was allied to Nazism, to Adolf Hitler during World War II. And, you know, they have statues and whatnot. He's honored, and especially by the Azov Battalion, the Reich Sector, and so forth. So you have that tension, and apparently that's more West Ukraine. And there's... But see, my issue is what I'm seeing is now that we have this war, conflict, special military operation, whatever you want to call it, now that that's going on, that tension that was there that's been built up for years is being amplified. So no matter what happens, if Russia does indeed maintain the area they've annexed for the next couple decades, or if Ukraine gets... you know, especially with the help of NATO and whatnot, gets some or all of it back. You know, those are the extremes. No matter what happens, the generation afterwards are going to remember those people. And you have that generational hatred. Those people hurt or killed my grandparents. They were cruel to them. They were hateful to them. And I remember, and I want revenge. That happens. That's happening. That's what we're seeing now. So observing that, the whole point of going through that, observing that. You know, I mentioned I just sent the postcard to George. What will it be like with my family and they find out about this? The return postcards. What will they think? What will Zadok, I mean, take the obvious, since he's the youngest. He's never had a face-to-face conversation with me. He's about to have a birthday here on the 30th. And it's, I've never celebrated a birthday with him. And I don't know him. I don't know his personality. I have a picture of him. As a baby, there's the picture right there of him as a young guy. That's years ago. I don't know, except for the fact that I, a while back, found a picture that is now a couple years old at least, on Facebook. And I don't have a Facebook account, so I sneaked in and got it. I got some pictures of my son, Zadok, and it's hard to recognize him. One day, maybe he's his 20s or 30s, because obviously this video library, the images and whatnot, there's a lot of ways I've backed this up. And what if he finds out about it? What if he finds out that his dad was proclaiming Christ? He was pursuing reconciliation. He tried to explain a whole lot of things. He reached out to people, and all he got was silence or the police. What will he think? And these things do concern me because of that potential generational hatred. Where would he place potential hatred or revenge for? That is why, if you look at a whole bunch of the postcards, well, they're right there. Some bunch, I think I can find more than one there. Obviously, the images are online. Where I say, when you find out about this, offer grace. When you don't offer grace, when you seek revenge, you go to war. And you know, there is the idea of bless those that persecute you. You know, it's if you love those who love you, what does it mean? So I want, you know, I observe what's happening on the world stage. And obviously Ukraine is the obvious example right now. If you look at the example, I see this in Syria. I see it in Libya. You know, right now, because of the tension of those people back then. It's very much there. There is a you see that in areas where there's a nearby Sunni Shia cultural divide. Within his Islamic community, you see that a lot within India, because of you have that, you know, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the Christians, and so forth. They're have their own enclaves, but often tensions flare up, and of late, in the past many weeks, tensions have been flaring up. So you see that on the world stage. You'll see it in families. And there seems to be two things to do. One is you just, I'm gonna fade away. In other words, you're gonna hide the truth. I don't think that's right. That's why the postcards, that's why the voicemails, that's why everything's online. I'll put up my effort to reconcile up to basically anyone I know. Because obviously I have the tools to do it. When you have gigabytes of data trying to show that I'm trying to reconcile, that's some effort. It's hours and hours and hours of stuff. You know, I've mentioned before when I first did the email and the voicemail, I just simply added more each day to the text, and that became 300 pages long. And it got to the point that that email was so long that it was quite ridiculous. So there's a PDF of it, and I shortened the email. But my email PDF file was bigger than Eric Lee's book, which is anyway over there, over here. I'm curious, do I have it right here? Is it over there? I've got Eric Lee's book. Maybe over there. Anyway, I won't bother anymore. But I have Eric's signed copy by my daughter. You know, the one who sent me the shirt, who said, my favorite writer calls me dad. But my email was longer than her book. So there's some effort here. So when Zadok or Walter, because obviously, you know, I ache for my relationship with Walter because I didn't solidify it when he was young, and it bothers me. When Gloria Jane or Susanna find out that their dad was trying to reconcile the family, the dad was trying to show a commitment to marriage, that they're not seen. When George, because I remember the conversation I had with him, and his email, I wish we were family again. What happens to him when he finds out how much effort is put out? You know, the obviously the kids who are gone, they have some tensions anyway. But what happens if somebody says, especially if one of my kids say, you know, I'm striving to be obedient to Christ, and I see my dad was trying to do the same thing, and my mom closed her heart to him. The institutional church did the same. Because again, the evidence is right there in front of you. Their grandfather did the same. What are they going to think? Are they going to say that, you know, one option is this Christianity stuff is baloney, and that's not true. It is reality. Or they may say, I want revenge, and that's the thing I want to encourage. No revenge. Offer grace. Because my wife's husband is a jerk. Me. I have my issues. I obviously, it doesn't warrant what happens. But I'm not a perfect man that was abandoned. I'm an imperfect man who was abandoned. But the abandonment was not justified. And I am concerned, again, about the generational hatred. You know, think about Charlotte or James. They find out when they're 20. I had a granddad who was trying to reconcile everything, and my family ignored him. What you see in Ukraine is there are some people who have, you know, again, you can see a whole lot of stuff about those people are pigs. I mean, that's a direct quote. They call them pigs. So therefore, we can kill them. You know, again, I long ago went through the idea that in wartime, you can't kill those people. You can kill a Nazi. You can kill a gook. You can kill a Jap. You can kill whatever name you want to apply. But you can't kill a person, because now that's a person like me. So you give them a foul name. And when the Ukrainian side looks at the people in Donbass as pigs, it makes it easy to kill them. When family members look at another family members and give them a name, it makes them easier to write off. Because you got to get rid of a name like dad or husband. Because those names are harder to write off. I'm going to pursue reconciliation, especially with my kids, because that, again, as I did, it was yesterday's, yes, I sent it to the family. My home is your home. I will never cast you out. That was to my kids, and that stands. I also made a commitment to a lady to share life with her. You know, again, it is the Book of Common Prayer, but it is a commitment I made and it's a commitment she made. Do you have to hold till death do us part? And I want to hold her. You know, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health. There's no abandonment there. It is till death do us part, or another way to say it, they are one until death. I wonder who did that. My lady, my wife. love you and I want you back.